I said Bob Jones Sr. said there's nothing wrong with America in about 9 weeks of preaching on hell wouldn't fix. We don't have the platform that a lot of people have. You know, we don't have a million people watching us on TV, but we can do what we can do. And I want to take it in a different direction today. Now, next week we'll talk about the country. We'll have a flag presentation. We'll have a little history thing about that. And then we'll talk about our nation, how good God's been to us. But today I want to talk to you out of Psalms chapter 9, four things that are not in hell. There's four things, very distinct things that are not in hell. And if you look at with me, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now this ain't in my sermon, but if we'll look back on nations, we can say amen. A lot of nations have come and gone that were wicked. Amen? Amen? Let's don't be one of them. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now, may I say today, and I believe you'll agree with me, there are some people, whole nations of people, that are destroyed because of wickedness. Not just unbelief. Now, unbelief is one thing, but wickedness is when you do things that also hurt other people. Now, wickedness is when you take, not many of you have them anymore, but when you had a candle, they would take threads and they would twist that thread, that wick, see. And that's where it comes from. Twisted treatment, twisted thinking, twisted sin. Those twisted nations, those wicked nations, shall be turned into hell. Now we look around and we think, these are not in hell and they're doing real good, and these are not in hell and they're doing real good, and these. But let me tell you something. God's Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you live long enough, you'll see that the wicked shall be turned into hell. The wicked. I'm talking about those wicked going against God on purpose. They know what they're doing, and they do it anyway, and they twist it so it'll hurt other people, and other people will follow them, and they'll be turned into hell one day. There's a payday coming, bless the Lord. Amen? There's a payday coming. Don't mistake God's mercy and long-suffering for blindness. He's not blind. He sees it. It's coming. It's just that he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, we talked about hell out of Luke 16. The rich man went to hell, and we saw what was there. We saw that there was flames, and we saw there was pain, and we saw there was suffering, and we saw there was outer darkness. We saw there was separation from God and everything that was good. There's no mother's love in hell. There's no father's concern in hell. There's no love in family in hell. There's no love in church in hell. But it gets worse than that. Now, if that's all that wasn't there, there'd be plenty of reason not to go. Amen? There'll be no sympathy from a mother's loving hands. There'll be no correction of guidance from a loving father. There'll be no church that will take you in when you fall. Amen? There'll be no family that'll love you unconditionally in hell. And that makes it hell just by itself. But I want you to notice in Revelation chapter 14, look at verse 11 if you will. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, he said, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night." They have no rest day nor night. Now you listen to me. Most of us in this room, most of us are adults. We've had sleepless nights. We've had times like last night, I couldn't sleep for the life of me. I prayed, I quoted scripture, I counted sheep frontwards and backwards. I did everything I could think of. Usually if you pray, the devil will put you to sleep. Didn't work last night. I just couldn't sleep. But let me tell you something. In hell, that'll be continual. There'll be no rest in hell. Most of us have worked hard jobs, and most of us have had to make a living. No, we didn't inherit anything. Say amen right there. You know, I have a bunch of blue bloods in here that's never worked a day in their life. Most of us have worked 2 or 3 days in one day. Amen. We've worked those 16-hour days. Some of us work more than that. We've worked 60, 70 hours a week. We know what that means. Amen. Come on. Come on. And then go home. Your wife's got a list for you. I'm just teasing, except for Billy. But we know what no rest is. We know what it is to be tired and can't find sleep. We know what it is to find sleep and wake up and still be unrested. And let me tell you something. Heaven is a place of rest. That's the promises through the Scriptures. He wants it. He says, come unto me that I may give you what? Rest. He wants us to rest. And there was an old black spiritual hymnal type song that they used to sing. And part of it said, talking about going to heaven, they said, where I can sit down. Where I can sit down. Those old cotton picking slaves, you know, they'd sing about going to heaven so they could get some rest and they could sit down. Most of us are from families that worked hard. Amen. Most of you, if you had a daddy, you didn't see him much, well, because he was always at work trying to get you something, or either he was at work and then out in the garden trying to grow you something so you could eat. And those of us who didn't have daddies, our mamas worked in the mill because daddy wasn't there to do it. And then when she wasn't at work, she was at home working. Say amen. All right, I remember that garden. My mama worked that garden. I hated that garden with every inch of my being. And mama loved her garden. Amen. And big old garden. And so we know what it is not to get rest. I go see people in the hospital, and I say, well, how you doing? They're treating you good? And here's what they'll say. They won't let me get no rest. They come in here all hours of the night and wake me up to find out if I'm doing okay. And I'm doing fine. I was sleeping till they got in here. Any of y'all ever felt that way? Amen. That's the truth. In this life, to be honest now, let's be honest. As we get older, now when you was a kid, you could run all day, pass out, sleep 4 or 5 hours, get up and run again. But as we get older, we realize there's very little rest in this world. Even the wicked don't get much rest. And here, that's right. And here he says this, in hell, there will be no rest. Listen, it's sweet, I know, and I preach many funerals, and I have a lot of people call me to preach their funerals. I didn't even know because they'd been to a funeral I'd been to. But let's be honest, there's a lot of people die that don't go to rest. But people will come by and look at them during the viewing of their coffin, in the coffin, in the body, you know, and they'll say they look so restful. And some of them dead in hell. They're not restful. They're not restful. Listen, they died and went to the devil's hell. And they woke up in hell, and there's no rest day nor night. For all eternity, no rest. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? And then there's no rest. But look at this in Matthew 8:12. We're talking about hell, folks. It's a real place. We're not making this stuff up. Hey, it's not some fear factor that some pastor thought of to scare you to make you join the church. This is a real place. Amen? It's not where your mama told you about to scare you from doing bad things. It's a real place. People that love you have told you about hell. Amen? People don't love you, don't care if you go or not. But in chapter 8, I think it was verse 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now listen, there in hell, he said there'll be no rest. But he also calls it something else. Outer darkness. Outer darkness. Now, you know what outer darkness is? That's no revelation. You don't see God anymore. You don't see God in the sunrise. You don't see God in the sunset. You don't hear God in the birds singing. You don't hear God with the wind rustling through the leaves. And there's no revelation of God now. Even now, as sinners and lost sinners, we can wake up and look at creation. And Romans chapter 1 says, even creation declares the glory of God. There'll be none of that in hell. There'll be no, hey, even as lost sinners, we saw God have mercy on people, and we saw God change people, and we saw God intervene in people's lives, and there won't be any of that in hell. It'll be outer darkness, all alone, never to see the works of God again. Lost sinners are at the beach right now. There's lost sinners at the beach. And some of them got up this morning, Brother David, and they walked on that beach because they said, to look at the glorious sunrise when you're down at the ocean, to look at the moon shining over the ocean, that full moon. You ever been at the beach when it's full moon? Beautiful thing. Even lost sinners see that. And they, hey even there, they get cold chill bumps on them when they see things like that. Because, see, God's revealing Himself. To see a baby be born and held in a newborn baby held in a mother's arms. That's revealing God. That's right. Amen. Yes. To see older folk, my mama, 99 years old, and still smiling and cracking jokes. And to see that's the glory of God. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. And that's God revealing Himself. Y'all still with me? Amen. To see some, even a lost sinner getting a terrible car accident, go to the hospital and come out alive and well. Other sinners said, man, that's a miracle.
Yes, sir.
Hazel's husband. They call him the miracle man. People would go, come up the hall, she said, that wasn't his nurse or nothing. They'd walk in, they said, we just want to see the miracle man. He was dead, now he's alive. See, they realized that's God. We realized it was God. That night, that meteorite came through those clouds about 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm going down Highway 5 at Bowwaters, and you know how it opens up there, and there's a few clouds up there. That meteorite's coming down out of the sky, ball of fire, and it hits those clouds, and it turns all kind of colors and lights, and there's a car coming the other way, and both of them stop in the middle of the road. And I thought, oh, no, that's a nuclear bomb. I'm going straight to hell. That's what I thought. I'll never see my mama again. I'll never see my girlfriend again. I'll never see the people I love. And see what it was. God was revealing Himself.
Yes,
do y'all understand what I'm saying? Yes. In hell, there's not going to be any God revealing Himself. They'll be turned into hell, and the people in hell will not see not one revelation at all of any sign of a God other than the torment and the pain that they're receiving for their unbelief. In hell, there's no rest and there's no revelation. I'll tell you what else it said too. It's forever. I don't care what that weirdo wearing a woman's gown, got his collar on backwards, calls himself a priest, wants you to call him father. He ain't never been married. He ain't never had no legitimate children anyway. I don't care what he says. There is no recess in hell. There's no recess. There's no, you're going to go a little while and somebody's going to go over to the church and pay $20 to get you out of hell. It's not happening. Somebody's already paid the price, the supreme price. His name's Jesus Christ, and we don't, you couldn't find enough money to pay somebody out of hell. Nothing is to compare with the price that He's already paid, the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't be deceived. There is no recess in hell. If you go, you'll never get out of hell. And there won't be any pause. There won't be any staying a little while and suffering for your sins. You'll suffer forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And you'll never get out, and you'll never see another loved one, and you'll never feel mercy and grace again, and you'll never see a revelation of God again, and you'll never rest a night of rest again. It is forever. There's no recess in hell. Get tired of people teaching ungodly, wicked things to lost sinners like that. Amen? Amen. And then I want you to know this. Look at Luke chapter 16, verse 26. Luke 16, 26. and we read it the other Sunday, and beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now let me tell you something. There is no redemption in hell. Nobody can pay after you go to hell. No one can pay to get you across that great gulf. There's no redemption. There's no buying you back once you've sold yourself into hell. And by the way, you did it. God didn't do that. You refused the redemption that He offered you because you'd rather have your sin than to have His redemption. And then, like the rich man, he'd rather be what he was than to be redeemed. So it says, in hell he lift up his eyes, and you'll lift up your eyes in hell, and you'll say, Lord, I wish I could do something to get out of here. There's nothing you can do to redeem yourself. And any teaching that says hell is limited is straight out of hell. The Seventh-day Adventists, by the way, look out for them. They're probably the most deceptive of all cults the day we live in. The Seventh-day Adventists. I just got something in the mail the other day from this. And by the way, they don't tell you they're Seventh-day Adventists. They don't tell you that. They don't identify themselves. They have prophecy conferences. And you go over there and then you'll... their main thing is the Sabbath, the Sabbath, the Sabbath. And I got one here telling why worshiping on Sunday will send you to hell if you don't do it on Saturday. Yeah, that's what they believe. But don't worry about it, because if you die, they teach that you're going to soul sleep in the grave until a great judgment day, and then God's going to raise us all up at one time, and He's going to try to judge us all at one time over our work. Well, what Jesus died for.
Amen.
Amen?
Yep.
And then once you are judged, He will throw you. There is a hell. Oh, yeah, there. Yeah, we believe in hell. That's what they say. But they believe that He cast you into hell and you burn up. Yeah. You burn up. That's it. It's over. Well, why didn't He just leave you in the grave then? Jehovah's Witness believe the same thing. Amen? There's no redemption from hell. You're not going to get bought back. That's already been paid for. You'll accept it now or you'll go to hell and stay forever. There are some things in hell and there's some things not in hell. There's no rest. There's no revelation. There's no recess. And there's no redemption. There's no way to be forgiven ever again. I want to talk to the Christian for just a minute. Most Christians really don't believe in hell like they ought to.
Amen.
Oh, you did when it was you.
Right.
Yeah. When it was you, you believed in hell. Yeah. That's why you got saved. You say, I just got saved because Jesus loves me. Liar, you got saved because you was afraid of going to hell or you didn't get saved. You were afraid of the judgment of God, and you knew that the judgment of God was death and hell forever and ever and ever, and you didn't want to die and go to hell, so you ran to the Savior, and you were redeemed, bought back, and you were saved, and now you're sealed, and you know you'll never go to hell. That's exactly where you are, if you're saved. But for some reason, you don't think of hell like that if it's your children. You don't think of hell like that if it's your husband.
Amen.
You see, you've been deceived. Yes. Hell must have got cooler since you got saved.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
If your house, if your home was on fire, if your house was on fire and your husband was there, you'd do everything you could to get him out of the fire. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
if men, if your house was on fire, you'd do everything you could to get your wife out of that house.
Yes.
you'd do everything you could to get your children or your grandchildren out of that house. And you wouldn't care, oh, well, if I wake him up, he'll get mad. You wouldn't care if he got mad if he was in the bed and the house on fire. You'd go out there and say, get up, baby. We got to go. Get out of here. Listen. I didn't mean for that to be funny. Listen. That's why Jude says, having compassion on them, making a difference. And he says, pulling them from the fire. Pull them out. Well, I don't want to make my children go to church because they don't want to get up that early. Oh, shut up. You don't believe in hell like you used to, or you drag your youngins into Sunday school. I tell people, all three of my daughters had drug problems. We drug them to Sunday school. We drug them to preaching. We drug them back on Sunday night. We drug them back on Wednesday night. They'd get us for child abuse now. We drug them to camp. We drug them to vacation Bible school. Hey, if that had anything to do with church and God, we was there, buddy. And look, the gates of hell couldn't have stopped us. And it rescued our children. And it kept them out of the fires of hell. And some of you did the same thing. Now you look at your grandkids, you ain't... Hell ain't hard as it was when it was your kids. Don't seem like hell's as dangerous as it was when you got saved and your brother needs to be saved. Or your sister needs to be saved. Well, Pastor, I don't want to offend them. You're offending them not trying to get them out of the fire. They just don't know that. When you're lost, you're blind. You understand that you're blind. I pray for Pat and Rudy every day. I pray for Pat and Rudy to have glaucoma, and it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to lose your sight. If you lose your sight, somebody's got to help you make your way through this old world. And when you're lost and you're going to hell, you're spiritually blind. That Ethiopian eunuch, when Philip got in there with him and he took him through the scriptures and showed him how to be saved, and they stand up there in this big old fancy chariot with probably a six team of whole beautiful horses out there, and they're pawing at the bits, ready to go. And Philip's giving him the gospel, and before he gives him the gospel, he says, the Ethiopian eunuch's reading the Bible for himself, and Philip says, understandest thou what thou readest? The man had been to the temple. He'd been to church. He'd seen the ceremonies. He'd experienced the worship service. But he left blind. He's reading the Bible. But if he'd be blind, he couldn't understand it. He said, how can I accept some man guide me? Amen. You see, somebody cared enough about you to guide you to the Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
And you think your kids are just going to catch on. Blind people don't catch on. They stumble. And they fall. And they get hurt. They need a guide. And people going to hell right now. There's no guides in hell. We're going to have to guide them now. After go to hell, there's no light. There's fire, but no light. Because God's presence is not in hell. The day that Jesus was crucified on the cross, you remember? It turned dark in the middle of the day. The sun was shining. It didn't say there was a storm. You watch those Hollywood things, you'll see a storm. There was no storm. There's no mention of a storm. Yes, it got dark in the middle of the day, and the sun's shining because God turned his back on this old world for just a minute because he couldn't look on his son dying in sin, our sin. And you go to hell and there's no holiness, there's no righteousness in hell. Therefore, God's presence cannot be in hell. I know the Bible says if we ascend to hell, he's there. But it's talking about his power and his presence. But the light of God is not in hell. And our relatives and our friends and husbands and wives and daughters and sons and brothers and sisters and people we claim we love, they're stumbling through this whole world blind. And let me tell you something, they really want to see.
Yes,
They do. They want to. All blind people want to see. I don't care what they tell you. All blind people want to see a sunrise and a sunset. We've got loved ones going to hell where there's no rest and there's no recess and there's no redemption, and they're stumbling through this whole world and they're really looking for truth and they can't find it. I was. I looked everywhere. I was blind. I couldn't see it. I saw no hope. Most of us grew up in a generation where we'd have bomb air raid drills at school, and they'd turn the bell on. We'd crawl up under our desk and hide, put your head between your legs under your desk, like that was going to save you from a nuclear bomb. And we all thought before it got year 2000 there'd be a nuclear war and we'd been done being killed, everybody would die. We had no hope. God proved every bit of it wrong. And He'll continue to prove it wrong till He takes His believers out of here. But see, people are walking through this world and they're blind. And they want to see. And if they don't get the revelation now, they're not going to get it. I love my children, but I couldn't save my children. They were spiritually blind. You're born that way. I know. Somebody said when you was a baby you saw an angel. That's a lie. You didn't see nothing but milk. Let me tell you something. There are people walking through this world right now. They want to know the truth. But how can I except some guide me? And my children, listen. You say, well, I can say, look, I didn't know how to tell my children. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't know how to have a Christian family. My wife was raised in a semi-religious home, but not really a Christian home. And so here's what I thought. If I can just get them down there where that's all he's talked about is Jesus, they'll find him. Maybe over there at that vacation Bible school, he'll open their eyes. Maybe over there at camp, he'll open their eyes. Maybe over there in children's church, he'll open their eyes. Maybe down there in that Sunday school class, he'll open their eyes. But I've got to get them where God is, and I've got to get them there before they get where God is never. Hell. I love my grandchildren. I guess, as a father, next to the greatest thing of having children is having grandchildren. You'll find out. Next to the greatest thing, having grandchildren. But what's so great about it is now you're more mature and you're older and you've had more experience and you know what works and what don't work. But I look at my grandchildren and I say, oh God, open their eyes. Let them see. And as a grandparent, you try to expose your grandchildren to truth. You try to expose them to the light. But let me tell you something. It didn't happen in your life the first time you heard it. Or the second time. It was probably many times that God dealt with you before you came. And He finally opened your eyes.
Amen.
And He let you see it. Let me tell you something. I'd die for my children to go to heaven. I would. I'd die for my grandchildren to go to heaven, or my wife, or my mother. I would. I would. And I know a lot of people say that, but let me tell you something. Here's the proof. Will you live for it? Well, I'd die for it. If you won't live for it, you won't die for it. If you make excuses because you don't get your family to Jesus, if you make excuses for them being on that road to hell, you'll make an excuse when it comes time to do that dying for them too. It's a whole lot harder to live than it is to die. Amen?
Yeah.
Whole lot harder to live. It's easy to die, just quit breathing. It's hard to live, amen? And it's hard to live for somebody else. It's easy to live for yourself. You just please your old flesh. But it's hard to live for somebody else. Deny your own feelings. Deny what you want and live for them. But if you love them and you don't want them to go to an everlasting eternal torment called hell, you'll live for them. You know, a lot of things some of us Christians could do that we don't do because we're afraid of what our children or grandchildren would think, and we don't want them to go in the wrong direction, not one bit. You understand what I'm saying? We have liberty. Hey, did you know I didn't have to come to church today to go to heaven? I came to church for you. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. You can be saved and go to heaven, but if you're going to be a good Christian, you got to go to church. So therefore, you wake up with arthritis and you look at your hands and feel your legs and say, "Boy, feel good today, but my grandkids might come to church. I need to be there." Because hell is an everlasting place. There's no mother's love there. There's no father concern. There's no loving family. There's no loving church. There's no rest. There's no revelation. There's no recess. There's no redemption. You know what I would say? I don't know who's saved here and who's not. I know I am. That's all I know. Me. We know us. Amen? I believe some of you are. But I can be deceived. I've been deceived before, and so have you. But I know I'm saved. I don't know who all saved. So I'll say this. If you've not been born again, I didn't say join the church. I didn't say get baptized. Those are things you do after you get born again. If you're not born again, I beg you, please don't go to hell. I beg you. And I came to church today so you couldn't go to hell. These other people came to church today because they didn't want somebody to go to hell. We're already going to heaven. According to Ephesians 2, we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yeah, we love Him. We come to church because we love Him. Yeah, we enjoy His presence. We come to church because of His presence. Yeah, we love the family of God. We come to church because of the family of God. But you know, we also come to church, Brother Bill, because somebody we love might show up today and we want to be there when they get there. To encourage them to go to heaven, not hell. Some of you have jobs that you work and you hate every minute of it, but you go to work because you love somebody and you're having to help them and pay their bills and you're having to feed them and you're having to clothe them. So you get up every day and you go to a job you hate. Some of you would like to spend your money on something else, but because you love somebody and they don't love themselves like they ought to, you're having to intervene in their life and help them pay their bills and help them live because they don't seem to have enough sense to do it themselves. But you love them enough that you'll sacrifice, you'll do whatever you got to do to help the people you love. Say amen right there, brother. Amen. I want my daughters to like me. I want them to like me. Not just love me as a father, but I want them to like me. I want my grandchildren to like. Don't you want people to like you? But if it risks them not liking me to go to heaven and stay out of hell, they'll just have to not like me. You know, it's like that little kid. He's got the flu and you're trying to give him medicine and he don't want medicine. He wants to feel better. And he doesn't understand this is the medicine that will make him feel better. And you take that spoon and daddy holds his mouth up while you pour it down his throat. Is that not the truth? Yes, why would you do such a thing? It's aggravating. And who wants to do such things as that? Because you love them, you'll do it. You say, "Well, my baby won't like me." Well, then let it die. My children, my grandchildren may not always like me, but I've got the medicine that they need. Amen. If I have to shove it down their throat, bro, I'll do whatever I got to do. I'll risk people not liking me to keep them out of hell. I know I'm a dinosaur. I know there ain't many of us left anymore. But I think you'll love your family enough to keep them out of hell. I think you ought to love your friends enough to keep them out of hell.
Amen.
And I think that they ought to know that. Like he said in Romans 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, on your job, you might be known as, they might call you Deacon Dan. They used to call me Preacher Rom before I ever even knew what a preacher was. Because I didn't want people to go to hell, Brother Billy. Look, I found the springs of living water. I found something that will quench every thirst you ever had right there. I found something that will shed light on everything in the world and let you see it rightly. But I know a lot of blind people and thirsty people that still don't have it. Well, preacher, I'll offend them if they get saved. I've had people come back to me and apologize for being mad at me because I got them to the truth. Now I know there's some nickel-nipping, penny-pinching, soft-soaping, ear-tickling, back-scratching preachers all over this town. If you don't want to hear the truth, go there. They'll tell you whatever you want to hear as long as you pay. And I know, I know narrow is the way that goes to heaven. I know that. And not many there be that find it. Jesus said that himself. And great is the way. Wide is that gate that leads to destruction. And many go therein. But I don't know who's going which way. And if I love them, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get down there at the crossroads where the wide gate and the narrow way divide. And I'm going to say, go this way. Go this way. Don't go over there. Don't go over there. I'll get in their way. No. Don't go that way. Go this way. Grab them. Push them. Amen. Shove them. Aggravate them. Do whatever you got to do.
Amen.
Snatching them. Pulling them. Jude says that. He says, having compassion on some. You know what they'll do? He says, making a difference. Now y'all look at me. I'm through. Your children will go to hell without Jesus Christ. Your grandchildren will go to hell without Jesus Christ. Your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, your grandparents, your siblings, your brother, your sister, without Jesus Christ, they're going to go into that place of no return. Is it worth the risk of just being a Christian, whether it offends them or not? Is it worth the risk of talking about what's in your heart and on your mind all the time anyway, which is Jesus? Or would you rather just let them fall down that big wide road with everybody else? The day I got saved, that preacher told me, he said, son, we've been praying for you for 3 years. I didn't know. I know he aggravated me sometime when he come over to the house. I know some of them other people from other churches aggravated me when they came over to the house. But you want to know something, Billy? I never got mad at them, not one time. I never got mad at them. I wanted to know the truth. I was seeking the truth. And it would shock you. Most people, except the few that's determined in their heart and in their mind, they don't care. Most people are seeking the truth. And you've got it. Now, Jesus said man's got a candle. He don't hide it under a bush. He puts it up on the hill. You got the candle. Why are you hiding it? They're looking for what you've got. Let's stand, Father.